Hi, welcome to Coffee and Closers. I'm Nikolai Bedor, and I want to personally invite you to join me and one of today's top performing sales stars for a cup of coffee and authentic conversation. And our collective goal is that you will walk away with tangible knowledge that you can apply to your sales efforts today. Are you ready? Grab a cup, fill it up, and let's get into another episode of Coffee and Closers. Welcome to Coffee and Closers. So my name is Nikolai Bedor, and I'm going to be your guide on this journey, and I'm so excited. I just realized that we've done almost 2 years of episodes. We're coming up on our two-year anniversary, so look for news on that. That's going to be fun. But we've never had a guest back. Wendy was a part of a Startup Week, Twin Cities Startup Week. We did some special episodes. She was on that. If anyone was here for that? Yeah, a lot of you. There was people out the door. It was standing room only, and she moved the entire room along with our WeWork friend, Prentice. She was brilliant. And before the camera, I think, stopped, I looked at her and said, we got to have you back. So she's back. If you don't know Wendy, she's had an amazing sales career, inside, outside, field, pharma. But she's best known for her sales career on TV. She's one of the marquee brands in TV sales. But what I really like about her even more than that is when she's not doing that, she's inspiring young women on the rise on how to be their best self. So she brings a lot of sales acumen and a lot of inspiration. Put your hands together for Wendy Russo. Welcome
Thank
back.
You. That was such a warm, warm welcome from him, and I hope I can live up to all those accolades. My name is Wendy, and I have had a varied sales career where I started off selling fax machines, which are now considered somewhat antiquated. And from there, I moved on to pharmaceutical sales, and I know we have some medical sales people in the room. And I've had many, many different ventures that I've sold for, whether it was selling private jets, selling retail, selling over the phone, so tons of different sales jobs. And let's face it, everything we do in our life is selling ourselves. And that's really what it's about. It's about the impression that you make initially. It's about the connection that you make with your vendor or customer or whoever your prospect is, and building that relationship over time, because as we know in our careers, everything is about relationships. And the one time you really know that very well is when you're looking for a job. When you're looking for a job, I don't care how many resumes you send out. Ultimately, it's about connecting with people that you've worked with over the years. And at some point in your careers, you may find yourself in a position where you need to find a job because either your company's downsizing, industries change, and any other variation from that, or you're making too much money. So along the way in your career, just continue to know that all the relationships that you are creating, whether it's coworkers or people you've worked with in other industries, or even building relationships with people at other companies that are your competitors, all of those can help you along your journey. And it's just important to know that now, when you're early on in your careers, and some of you may be a little bit later in the careers, but for anyone who's in their industry, just know that nothing that you're doing now is a waste. So whether you love the sales industry you're in or whether you feel like you're looking and you're thinking about, is this my niche, just know it's all helping you in the end and it's all giving you that experience you need.
Right on, thank you. Get your hands warmed up, there's gonna be a lot of this, I think. So, you know, tell us about your journey and how sales has been a part of that.
Well, as I said, you know, I've started off actually when I was a kid and I was in college, I decided I need to make a little bit of money. So I created a t-shirt, which apparently I think I made about 10 grand doing it. But it was a t-shirt.
You made a t-shirt?
It was a t-shirt that had the BMW logo and I put UVM, which was my college. And I said the ultimate party experience. And apparently people liked it. So...
Where can I get one?
I wish I still had it. But I remember my cousin said he came up on the banks of the head of the Charles, if you know what that is in Massachusetts. It's the race and the boats. I can't remember what it's called anymore. The crew. It's the crew race. And I was selling the t-shirts there. And my cousin said, I came up to this woman who was selling these t-shirts and she had a wad of cash and she was counting it. And I turned around and it was me. So obviously he was like, wow, my cousin's got all this money. So that was like my first taste of, you know, selling and wanting to make some money and maybe a little bit of entrepreneurship in there as well. But through the years, I've really gone in many different sales directions. And sometimes, you know, you find yourself in an industry and maybe it isn't your passion, as I was talking about earlier. You know, if you ever get fired from a job, it's something's not clicking, right? So I found that I was taking acting classes on the side, and my company, Siba Geigy Pharmaceuticals at the time, found out that I was taking this class on Friday at 4. Well, I figured I had my sales calls done. I can go do that. So that's a little pointing me in the direction of television, which was really what I had wanted to do, was to do something with acting and TV. And I was able to combine them both with what I do now, which is sell on home shopping. And if you've ever watched the shows where someone's holding up a product and they're selling it to you and they're talking about it, that's a very different method of selling, but all of my years of selling before that kind of led to a combination of TV and selling. And let's face it, nobody likes to be sold, right? So we want to feel like we're engaging, we're having a conversation, we're sharing on TV. I have the benefits of doing a demonstration, or I'm able to show something, or I'm able to wear something so that someone else can get an idea of it for themselves. And your sales job may be a little bit different, where you don't have that capability of having that kind of light conversation, but in a way you do in the first contact, whether it's over the phone or in person. You're just immediately, you don't want to get right in there and start immediately asking them about their needs with their medical devices or whatever it might be. So you want to build that relationship, and that's what I try to do with my customers. So I think my acting experience really helped me to let go of nerves, because when you're on TV, you have to be able to let go of your nerves and be yourself, and that's, I think, something that comes over time. And same with sales calls, right? When you're out and you're talking with people and they can tell that you're nervous or you're new or, you know, there's something uncomfortable, you know, you have to establish that rapport early on. So now in my TV career that I've been doing for almost 15 years now, it's been an interesting journey because, as I said, all your previous experience always leads you up to where you're supposed to be. So I believe that we're all where we are supposed to be, and every experience that we've had is leading us there. So again, if you're in a position now where you feel like, why am I doing this? I'm not into this. I'm not into my product, or I don't like banging on doors all the time or cold calling. Does anyone do any cold calling? Oh, very nice. It's not always fun, right?
Well, it isn't fun. That's what I was gonna ask is, you know, a little bit more about reading your prospects. Because you're never going to meet them. Like, you're reading people that you're never going to meet. And anyone that's in sales probably starts inside. And virtual sales right now with Zoom and stuff is, I mean, I personally like inside sales. But that phone is so heavy sometimes. Do you have any advice for people like us?
Yeah, I totally understand that. I think the best thing to do is think about, what is your prospect possibly doing right now? What are they in the middle of? And be respectful of that. And even for me, I have to keep reminding myself that women might have the TV on and they're maybe not by the TV sitting there watching it, but they're listening. And so to be able to speak to them where they are in their lives, where they are in possibly their day, what they can do, and also how are they thinking. So when you're selling, aren't you thinking of everybody knows features and benefits. But what you really should be thinking, features and benefits is about you, right? You're thinking then about you and your product, and that's very one-sided. It's kind of like a relationship. When you're talking to someone, they just talk about themselves, and you're like, so you want to put yourself in their shoes, and that's what I try to do with the ladies who are watching me or anyone who's watching, is you need to think about, what are they asking? What questions would they have? So think about your prospect, your industry, and what do they have currently? How old is their medical device machine? Maybe, you know they've got a laser machine, right? You do. But how old is that, and does it do this? And so you're building that. Same with if I'm selling a pair of jeans, and I know every lady has at least 5 pairs of jeans. You don't need another pair of jeans. But these are this, that, and the other thing, and look at how they fit, and this is why I like them compared to others. So when I'm speaking to people that I can't see, because all I'm seeing is like a red light or a round little opening there, I'm always thinking of what are they thinking. And I'm also thinking of my customer's age, and I'm thinking of different ages. And how do I talk to a woman who, you know, I'll always have to think about women who are in a rural area or who don't get out and who aren't or disabled. And I'll speak to, these are great if you're, you know, disabled, you're sitting in a wheelchair and you're not able to move, they're going to be the most comfortable jeans you have. If you're seeing your doctor a lot and you really need to be able to remove your garment quickly and be able to go and get checked, this is going to be the perfect top for you. Oh, if you've got those triple, you know, when your back touches your back, well, that's when you want to wear this kind of a top. Hate to tell you, I've had that back touching the back thing. It's not good. So I try to talk to every customer and every person about what addressing their needs. So you really have to think wide. It's hard not to just come from your own perspective. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. That's great advice. Something a little bit before we move on is you said people are doing other things, right? Like you're assuming that, and you're on TV. All of us were calling in. You know, that's good advice to assume that they're doing something else.
Yes.
How do you capture their attention? I mean, you can't like slap them, right? If they're cooking eggs and you're like, no, right over here. Psh. Like what advice would you have about actually capturing that attention? Acknowledging that, hey, I'm a distraction. You weren't expecting this, but you know, here's why you should listen.
Well, I mean, there's always an opener, whether it's, you know, if you know you're calling in Minnesota and it's the one nice day of the week. Oh, it must be tough. You're indoors today. It's a beautiful day out. You know, I mean, connecting on some level. Or, listen, I know that you might be going to lunch right now. Think of time of day. Or, again, is it a busy doctor and you're going to call on them in person? And so, you know you're catching him at the tail end. It's 4:45. And he's trying to, listen, I know you're trying to head out to your home in the Hamptons right now, but you know, you could joke around. I think a sense of humor can go far. I know that my customers who watch me, that's really my signature, is my honesty, that I'm really honest. So if a dress is short, and then a girl says, this could be a dress, I'll say, well, it's a dress if you're 5'4" or under. And so I'm always giving the truth. And if you're known for your truth, and you know, sometimes you're going to lose some sales, right? You're not going to tell them to buy something if it's not going to be for them. But I look at it as I'm building my credibility and I'm building trust. So your customers need to have trust from you. If you tell them, and I've had real estate agents say, oh, you're not going to like this house. The layout's not exactly what you want. We'll find you something better. I feel like, okay, now I can trust this person. She's actually telling me what is obvious. I can see it, but at least she's saying it. Versus, oh no, it'd be fine, just break down this wall and break, this is not a weight-bearing wall, you can get rid of that. Then you start feeling like, yeah, you know, I don't know how much I can trust her. So trust is really a big thing, and a sense of humor. So calling and saying, listen, if this is a bad time, is there a day I could call you back? Or do you have time tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.? Would that be a better time? Like, be respectful, but try to close the time. I almost feel like I'd rather call, get the initial kind of brush off, but set a time.
Absolutely.
Because then I know that they are ready for me, they have the appointment, they're going to listen, and I've been respectful. I've earned their trust, right? So really key, because we're all like that. I mean, I think salespeople are the worst people to sell to, because we're like, what is it now? I mean, the minute I pick up my phone, if someone's pitching me, I'm like, nope, ding. And I don't want to be sold. And I think that, again, we're really the toughest customers in the room. How do you want to be approached? Right?
Absolutely. So beyond all the glitz and glamour, right? You're on TV. It can't be perfect. It can't be easy. You've had to have sold something that absolutely you're like, I don't want to sell this, but you have to. Tell us about kind of the, when the lights are off, what's it like to sell on TV?
Well, I'd say, I mean, I've sold a lot of really ugly fashion. And I always look at it as everything I sell is like people, where you can find the good in anyone, possibly even a serial killer. I mean, I don't know. I think I could talk with someone and find a common ground or something positive about them. So I feel like it's the same for any
good
garment.
Person with a terrible hobby, right?
I can look at, and I'll be like, wow, that's really ugly. But somehow I put my feelings aside and I can pick apart an item and find out, well, it's comfortable, it's stretchy, I like the length, you love the color, the neckline's perfect for jewelry. You know, you kind of get into a mode, and that's what I do. I tend to get into a mode where you're almost selling yourself. I've had shows where by the end of the show, I'm thinking of buying something and I have to be like, stop it, don't buy that. You're not gonna like it later. So I have to keep shaking off like I'm selling myself. But even, you know, I've had a really ugly stretchy jeans. They looked like they maybe were like leggings, but they had fake pockets that were on them like a trompe l'oeil for pockets, and it had the whiskering and all of this stuff. And I was like, these are really comfortable. And I was like, no, Wendy, stop it. Don't do it to yourself. So
I love that point of, you know, people sometimes sell like they sell the opposite of how they would buy, right? They get in their little mode and they sell, but then if you were to flip it on them and say, now let me try it on you, you'd be repulsed, right? So you're saying sell like we would buy.
Yes.
Treat the customer like you're the customer and sell to them like you would sell, because that's probably the most natural.
Yeah, right? Like I hate listening to home shopping people who are yammering and pat that, and it's like constant. I'm like, ugh. So for me, I like a sense of humor. I like people who are just real and take their time and have a conversation and talk to the points, but I don't want to feel like someone's reading a list. You know, some people in my industry, they'll write down 9,000 adjectives and then read every one. It's old, it's new, it's classic, it's traditional. I'm like, it can't be all of that. So it does happen. So I do think we have our own style and we gravitate to that, right? We're kind of maybe deliver that type of experience for others.
I want to ask who the worst one is, but I'm sure you get in trouble, right? I can't say who's the worst salesperson on TV. Can I ask that?
I don't like shouting. So anyone who's shouting or screaming, I mean, I will say I did a 3-month stint at Jewelry Television, and I found that
they
interesting.
Shout?
There's some yelling going on. And the guy I was on with, he was yelling, "Welcome to the greatest show on earth!" And I was like, are we in the Big Top? Did I forget my hat? So it was like a whole different way of selling, and they felt like the yelling and then the countdown clocks of, you know, there's 45 left, now there's 25, now there's 24, now there's 23. I'm just like, oh my, are we gonna go down to one? So that's just not my style. I tell people if, you know, when they're hiring me, I'm not a hard sell because that doesn't work for me. But, you know, everyone's got their style. That's just not me. You have to know your style. And you know, we can all improve. We can all get better. We can learn from others. Like maybe the countdown clock is a good idea, but maybe I don't want to go one by one. You know, so maybe that's a great idea. So you can pick out things you like that other people do, but you don't want to totally change your persona.
Well, it clearly works in the auto industry. We've never understood that. Like, we have a little daughter, and all of a sudden she'll like be napping in the car and wake up. I can't figure out, you probably don't know the answer to this. Why do they yell on all the commercials? They're like, no other thing. No one goes, buy some soap. But car salesman, I don't get it. Anyway, deep thoughts. So now let's talk about politics, company politics. You had some interesting insight in your career on internal selling. We talk a lot on the show about external selling, talking to our prospects and clients, but who here works for somebody else, or who here works at a company? All right. So you guys know that it isn't just about reaching your customers, right? It's about getting that time off. It's about other internal stuff. I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on internal selling and kind of internal politics and how you've mastered that.
I think people don't talk a lot about politics. We all know it exists. And I think maybe internally in our companies, we talk to others about politics that are happening in our surroundings. But it is true that I feel as though selling is only half of your job. So you have to prospect, you need to sell, you need to close, you need to maintain your customers, all of those things, social media posts, whatever that is. But then on the flip side, there's the internal politics. And that can always, that can often lead to what territory do you get? What accounts do you get? What promotions do you get? Are you getting, you know, things handed to you or not? And whether I was in Pitney Bowes and I was selling copiers and I had the crappiest territory with the fewest older accounts that I could upgrade where I had to actually cold call versus other gals who sat in the office and the phone just rang and they had all the big national accounts and they didn't have to do anything. You know, I mean, I think we've all seen that in one variation or another. In my current job, there's a lot of politics related to who likes you, what show are you going to get, what time are you going to get, what product are you going to get, what price are you going to get, how many stretch pays, how many value pays, how many of the today's top values will you get, are you getting the top value hit, are you not getting it, are you getting a fringe hour, are you getting a good hour. So there's a million and one variations, so it's hard. Sometimes the job can be exhausting because there's so much involved with being a salesperson, unless you're one of those lucky chosen few who doesn't really have to worry about politics. Then there's the politics of your prospects and getting them to want to work with you, right? Then there's that connection, and maybe you connect with them through bringing treats or sweets. Does anyone do that as part of what they do in their business? I know in I know in pharmaceutical sales, it used to be, I felt like I was an airline stewardess and I was just serving them lunch. And I was just pulling along my little cart of goodies and offering people lunches and drinks and sweets and presents and treats so that they would talk to me and just sign my paper and take some samples. So, you know, it's very interesting. But this day and age, again, it's sometimes you do need to do that with my own crew. I feel like to get them on board, sometimes you do need to really either give them the compliments and thank them and really be grateful and let them know that so that they are behind you. You know, just like the lady at the front desk, if you're cold calling, the receptionist who's there, the blocker to the main point person, you really need to somehow sweeten them up. Like, is there any way I can get in there? I brought you some whatever. Or you know she loves something and you're bringing her that treat. So the politics are pretty interesting. I think we all know that. I just find it fascinating that we don't talk about it often. You don't hear speakers come out and talk about politics. And one thing I want to address about politics is, in your career, you may see managements come and go. And if you haven't yet, you will. Because if you're young, you maybe haven't seen it yet because you're in an industry that's still thriving. As you get older and industries change, think about it. Kodak, that was a huge company back in the day. Kodak had to recreate themselves, fire people. They're a whole different animal. The home shopping industry is following suit. It's completely changing. People are shopping differently. So all of our industries change over time. You might be in a really good industry now in 10 years. That could be on its way out. So what do you have to think about is management changes, and to know that if one management team doesn't love you, the next management team might. If the current company you're with lets you go, let's just say to my older workers here, if you find yourself in a position of being unemployed over 50, it's not easy out there. It's actually kind of ugly. But what I am going to say is you are at the advantage of having all of those connections from over the decades. So that's why I'm encouraging you to continue to keep those friendships, relationships, because you never know who's going to lead you to your next job. So, and all of this is related to politics.
Absolutely. Wow. It was like nice. You've done this before, haven't you? Nice little bow on that one.
Well, you know, in my industry, I've seen six management teams come and go. And within each one, everyone's jockeying for position. People are jockeying for, oh, good, now we're in a fresh start. Now I've got to make in with this person so that I get the better territory, the better hours, the better product. You know, I'm going to get this better positioning. And so everyone's jockeying around you. What I'll say is I'm not someone to step on others to try to achieve. And I do feel like I saw a lot of that and I've seen a lot of that. And very much, I do feel like a lot of the top people in industries are that personality. Number one, don't get down on yourself if you're not that person. Because I believe in karma. I believe in the good that you give out will come back. I do a lot of volunteer work with Dress for Success and other Make-A-Wish. And I feel like all the things that we do that aren't selfish come back to you. And even in my company, I've helped recruit and bring in women to be on TV and sales, and I've had other older women come up to me and say, stop bringing people in. They could take my job. I think women are sometimes the worst offenders, at least from my experience. Unfortunately, older women in their 40s, 50s, maybe older, tend to shut out the younger. And I've seen bullying. I've seen younger women feel like they can't get anywhere. They're not trusted. They're not respected. On the other hand, I've seen management teams where they only like the younger people, and the older people are fired, shut out, relegated to lower positions, or demoted. So there's a lot of that. I'm going to ask you to be part of the solution, part of the change, part of the light, the positivity, and not needing to do that. I believe there's enough pie for all of us. You know, there are some people who definitely need to eat 5 f***ing pieces of pie. Okay? We all know that person or few people. You just let them shove the pie in their face as hard as they can, because it will come back around. And you will get your big pie. You will get your piece. And they will just get fatter.
At this point, is there anybody curious why we brought her back? I'm not. Sorry, you ran a tear there. Go ahead.
But you know, it can get infuriating. It can get frustrating. It can feel like the same person always gets everything. It can feel like, you know, you are just working so hard and not achieving and not reaching what you want to. And I'm just here to tell you that it can come around. Just keep going and be you. Be the better you. And it's hard not to get sucked into the drama, to get sucked into the competitiveness and the fighting and the backstabbing. It's really hard to stay grounded. I found that one way it's really great to be grounded is to be unemployed. Because once you're unemployed, not only do you have time to go to Bible study or to rethink your life or to reprioritize yourself or to realize, wow, you know what? I only have this many work years left in general, right? If you're going to be employed by a company, I feel like there's an end date. I think we can all agree in your 60s, how hard is it to get employed? I can't imagine how hard that would be. And I have friends who are veterans who are looking, you know, have looked for work. It's not easy. So my ask is, younger people, don't forget the older, don't forget the people who are the leaders who've been in your position. Help them. So very often we talk about mentoring and the older mentoring the younger. There are points in your life when you're going to see an older is having a tougher time, or you can see them getting shut out in your work environment. I'm going to suggest to you to try to not be that person that just says, discounts them and says they're old, they're done. And you know what, even if it means maybe lowering their pay and offering them the position or a position at a lower pay is better than nothing. I wish companies would even consider taking employees that they're thinking of letting go because of their pay scale or the position, or they're too old for this part of the industry, and putting them. And I know older people are generally doing a lot of consulting after their career's over. Someone tells them it's over. So reversely, older, and especially women, it is hard. I know it's hard to be generous to other women when you feel like they're going to surpass you. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, they will. They will surpass you at some point. However, be confident in who you are. So I'll tell you a brief little story about me. So at 51, I was fired from my job because the women boss didn't like me. And I was unemployed for 14 months. And during that time, I had a lot of time to think. And I volunteered with Dress for Success, although it was ironic that I'm helping other women find a job. But I felt that God wanted me to do that. I got an email and it asked for facilitators, and I said, I've got nothing else to do. I have a feeling God wants me to do this. And so I did it. And I said to the ladies, by the end of this summer, we're all going to be employed. and it was about encouraging them. And there were women over 50. And it's not easy to start over, but just know that you can, and there are people who care, and you will find them. And I just don't want anyone to get discouraged, because I spent a lot of time, and I worked, and I did do jobs that ended up being dead ends or shut doors, and I explored guesting, and I explored other networks, and I explored other industries. And anytime someone offered a potential position, I said, yes, I'll hear about that. Yes, I'll meet with this person. Oh, this person doesn't like me. I can't talk to them. I can't contact them. Well, you need to. And I said, all right, fine. I'll put on my big girl panties and I'll contact them. I contacted people I thought hated me, because I was willing to humble myself, because I was thinking to myself, if I could humble myself in front of them and I could say, I need your help, that they would rise up, and they did. So there's a lot of hope, and there are a lot of really nice people outside of work. Sometimes the people in, you know, you ever have those people in work? At work, you're like, I hate that person. Every day, they're the bane of my existence. But when you're out of work, you're like, God, you know, I really like them. They're really cool. Especially after a vodka. So the universe has an interesting way, because the management team that let me go was all let go. 22 people in total, saving the company $15 million. And within 4 days, I was contacted by the new president, who knew me from the same company. He was a CFO previously, and he contacted me on LinkedIn. And I thought LinkedIn is a waste of time. I've taught LinkedIn. I've really tried to use LinkedIn. It just didn't really do much. I've listened to people's videos on that thing. I just thought, this is not going anywhere. Well, he contacted me on LinkedIn and he said, Wendy, we're in need of a few great hosts and I'd like you to come in. So I was just hired last week from my previous employer that I was with for 14 years under new management. And I'm finally in a position where I'm getting my piece of the pie.
Yeah. And you, yep. So I wanted to ask, so I'm going to take three questions and mash them into one, because we're over time. No? All right. Can we have three minutes of your question time? Yes? All right. Dress for Success, everything you just said, okay? We try and reference podcasts and books and faith and whatever, but I want to know where you get your inspiration. Where do you get your inspiration to strap up and take these punches as you have, so that maybe someone here can say, I'm not as strong as Wendy today. I'd like to be. Where do you find your inspiration, your strength?
No one's strong every day. And I'd say, number one, get out of yourself and volunteer. I think that's important. It gives you purpose. It helps you to find your value. Every time you help someone else and you lift them up, you're lifting yourself up. Every time that you encourage someone and you give them words of advice, even ones that you need to hear yourself, that's what's going to get you through. The other thing that's interesting is I finally decided, with all this time off, I was going to do a Bible study, which I had never done. And my, you know, I have a father who's a Bible thumper. And for some reason, if you have a parent who's like really into it, you're just like, no, I'm not doing it. I actually did. I read the book of Esther with a bunch of ladies who are at a different part of their life than I am. And the story, if you've never read it, is about a turn of events, a reversal of fortune. That is the concept of the book of Esther, and it's about having faith. And faith is something that's very challenging to have, no matter what your faith is. Faith that it will turn out. Faith that God has your back. Faith that where you are today is not where you will always be. And you know, there's a lot of suicides that happen when people lose jobs, and I've seen it happen. And that's from a lack of faith or belief. And you have to continue, as I said, reach out. But if you ever really want the ultimate story, Beth Moore has a terrific Bible study on the book of Esther. And after I completed it, I was able to go back to my Bible study with all these little old ladies and let them know that I had a complete reversal of fortune. So it was a great example to me that it's true and it's possible. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's all we have, you guys. Put your hands together for Wendy.
So what do we think? What'd you learn? Well, if you like that, check out coffeeclosers.com for upcoming episodes, recordings, and more. And don't forget to check out our sponsors. Each one has been hand-selected. They are best in class. Until next time, we'll see you at the next Coffee and Closers. Cheers.
Say live, come on, live. Live a life we love. Gotta live, I said live. Live a life we love.